Greetings, gang. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind from Believers City Church in Menominee. We welcome you this evening, whether you are listening on Street Level Radio 101.7 FM, or if you're streaming our live video stream from jfbelievers.com. I know we've got some people out in small groups in the local communities, and we welcome you if you're joining us from one of those small discussion groups. Or if you're just tuning in and catching us out there somewhere, you're welcome to participate with us this evening as we recap and rewind our Sunday message. So let's jump in. We're in Judges chapter 13 on Sunday, and we're looking at the call. Let's take a look.
Our message today is entitled, The Call. Why don't we, again, Judges 13, let's read through this together.
Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and that the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. She had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink any wine or similar drink, not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God in the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like that of countenance of an angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God and the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, the angel of God. It came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said, 'Look, the man who came to me the other day, he's just now appeared to me.' So Manoah arose and followed his wife, and in which they came to the man, and he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to the woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now let your words come to pass. What will the boy's rule of life in his work?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please, let us detain you, and we shall prepare a young goat for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food, but I will offer a burnt offering. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?' And the angels of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on it. It happened as the flames went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we've seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time.' So the woman bore a son, and he called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Manoah Dan between Zorah and Eshtol."
Right off the bat, in verse 1, we read, "Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, this is the seventh time that phrase has shown up in the book of Judges. In this cycle, of rebellion, followed by bondage, followed by crying out to the Lord and deliverance. This cycle has not gotten any better over the span of Judges, over the time period we've covered. In fact, it's only getting worse. Now, the time period is the 11th century BC, and if you know Bible history, this is about 50 years before King Saul comes on the scene, the first king of Israel. Samson, who we're going to be covering, will be the last judge to deliver Israel in this book of Judges. And this time period is going to be followed by one of the darkest, most hideous time periods in the history of the Bible and the history of Israel. There will be apostate priests. There will be rape and pillage. There will be human butchering and tribal genocide. It is going to be one of the darkest periods in all of the Bible. And so this cycle of rebellion, bondage, crying out for deliverance, and being delivered is only getting worse over time. Yet, even in this darkest hour, in this darkest time, we see that God's hand is still outstretched to his people, and that his steadfast love never ceases. And he will again try to deliver his people as we head into the story of Samson. So it's in this light we come to the call, and we'll take a look at how God calls his people out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So on Sunday, we saw this call was first born in humility. The tribe of Dan was considered the weakest of the 12 tribes. And we find it to be the first tribe to be driven out of their promised land, of their inherited land. In fact, some accounts of the 12 tribes don't even mention the tribe of Dan as we look in Ezekiel and Revelation. Then we read Manoah's wife was barren and had no children. And being barren was considered a curse and brought social disgrace. Your family could no longer retain its ancestral land, its inheritance. But she's told she would conceive and bear a son who would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, these Philistines, they inhabited five major cities. They bordered Dan. And the Philistines had a monopoly on blacksmiths, on swords, and weapons. Where the Bible tells us just within 50 years of this, that the people of Israel in 1 Samuel had no weapons, had no blacksmiths. So let's take a look at this. Where was God looking for a potential deliverer? And what qualifications was God using to make his choice? A barren woman, not even named here, from the weakest of tribes, with no weapons, going up against a very armed enemy. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, it's been said, humility, true humility, is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. But how many of us seek position or honor or recognition today? Or want to be seen as important, as notable in the eyes of man? But the Bible tells us God has chosen the base things of the world and the things which are despised and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Seeing the call of God, as we see with Manoah's wife, as we see in this story, the call of God is born in humility. Next, on Sunday, we looked at the confirmation of this call. Manoah, the husband, wanted to hear this call for himself. So Manoah prayed to the Lord, and God listened to his voice, to the voice of Manoah's prayer. Here, God answers Manoah. Now, this is important, because it's important to be sure of God's call for your life. It's important to be confirmed in what God has called you to do. If it truly is God's call, it's going to be difficult enough, even if we do know and are sure of what God's called us to do. It's going to require faith. It's not something we can waver in. It's not something we can doubt in or second guess. There'll be too many temptations to back out There'll be too many opportunities to give up. We must have our call confirmed. And that's exactly what Manoah is doing in praying to the Lord. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, your wife, let her be careful. Of all that I commanded her, let her observe." I think it's interesting that there's no new instructions here. Oftentimes we are curious about what is unsaid or what is unknown. But here the angel delivers no new instructions, no change of plans. God simply reiterated what he'd already said. You see, the Bible tells us that God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. When God calls, he doesn't make mistakes. And he already knows how it's going to turn out. He knows the beginning from the end. I wonder how many of us are praying for or are seeking a different call from God than the one he's already given us. Again, God doesn't change horses midstream. He isn't the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. And he doesn't change his mind. Now, looking back in verses 4 and 5, the angel had already told Manoah's wife that the child would be a Nazarite to God from the womb. Now, we discussed on Sunday, there's constraints that govern a Nazarite. We can see them in Numbers chapter 6. It involved food and drink, appearance, and associations. And God still governs, or at least desires to govern, these areas of our life today. The Bible says, whether you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In 1 Thessalonians, we read, abstain from all appearance of evil. And in 2 Corinthians, we read, come up from amongst them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So let me ask you, does what you eat, does what you drink glorify God? Do the things we do and the places we go, do they glorify God? Now, this word Nazarite comes from the root Nazir, which literally means separated or holy. And to be holy, it means to be set apart for an exclusive use. Are we set apart for God's exclusive use today? Let's look at our schedule or our job. Or we could look at our money and our time, even our pleasure. I think it's really easy to say we are set apart for God's exclusive use, but it's another thing altogether to be actually set apart for God's exclusive use. Oftentimes, this can be a conflict with our jobs, with our schedules. I recall Faye, my wife, having worked at Phillips Plastics for 13 years, and she had accrued weeks of vacation, high pay, comfortable position, first shift, daytime hours. And all of a sudden, they were switching and asking her to work. After 13 years, the plant was changing to have her work every other Sunday. She would miss church every other week or have to find somebody else that would pull them from their Sundays to work. And so after 13 years, she left. No degree, her pay, her vacation, her benefits, her health insurance, all of it to start on the floor at another factory as a temp. You know, a lot of times we want to say we're set apart for God's exclusive use, but what is our actual practice in life? What have we given up to be set apart for God? Peter tells us, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, this passage, be holy, for I am holy, is found in the Leviticus in the Old Testament, and it's reiterated in the New Testament in 1 Peter. See, what God has spoken, he will not change. And when it comes to God's call upon our life, has he confirmed to you what he has already said? Now, last on Sunday, we looked at the gravity or the weight of the call. We discussed how the author here, the narrator of this chapter, referred to this messenger as the angel of the Lord or the angel of God. While Manoah and his wife kept referring to the same messenger as a man or a man of God. We read later that Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. See, there's a certain weight, there's a certain gravity to the words of, say, our spouse when they ask us to do something, or our boss when he gives us direction, or our pastor when they give us a ministry or a direction to go in. And there's certainly a gravity, a weight, if you see the sirens behind you and a police officer pulling you aside, a government official giving you some direction, you know, step out of the car, sir. There's going to be some weight, some gravity with what that person has to say. But what Manoah and his wife didn't realize that was that this call, this direction was not coming from any man on earth. This word for angel in Hebrew, it means messenger, but this messenger, it wasn't any ordinary messenger. In fact, this messenger would receive an offering, sacrifice, would be worshipped, and would be later called God in this passage, God. In fact, when Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, "What's your name?" The angel of the Lord replied, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" His name is wonderful. And this is the same name used of Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where we read, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful." And his name will be called Wonderful. This word wonderful translates incomprehensible, extraordinary. This is no human being. This is no ordinary man. In fact, many scholars think this angel of the Lord is pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself, the second person of the Trinity in human form. And then we read in our account, this angel of the Lord did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. And I think that's the point here, is that God is wonderful. He is extraordinary. He is incomprehensible. Have we known God in this way? Have we seen his wonders and gloried and how extraordinary he is? Just last week, some of us visited a giant waterfall in some rock formations at Willow River State Park. And it was amazing to see just the water coming down and rushing over the rocks. There were people all over. I mean, it was packed just to see this wonderful sight that God created probably from the origins of the earth. Now, even more extraordinary for me is the next morning I open up my devotions and I read in the very next chapter of my Bible that the Bible says, "Deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves wash over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me." Here in the Bible itself, we hear of God's glory revealed and the thundering sound of his waterfalls and how he commands his loving kindness towards us. And that's what we see in this story. Let me ask you, what wondrous things has God shown you? How has he been wondrous or incomprehensible or extraordinary in your life? See, it's here that Manoah, he recognized the gravity of the call, so much so that when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. In fact, Manoah said, "We shall surely die because we've seen God." He was overwhelmed with the messenger, with the one who had brought this call. But here Manoah's wife replies, "Listen, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted our offering and our grain offering from our hands. Nor would he have shown us these things. Nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." You know, you look at Manoah's wife here and her faith and her trust in God is perhaps why the Lord first appeared to her and gave this direction to her. She had realized that God is for us, according to Romans 8:1. God is for us and not against us. That God is actually working for us, an exceeding eternal weight of glory. He's working for us. Do we believe that about God today? That God is for us and not against us. That God is working on our behalf, that he's doing exceedingly eternal things for our glory, for his glory? Have we come to realize the gravity of the call that he has upon our life, and that our God is wondrous, incomprehensible, and extraordinary? Now we see the fruition of this in verses 24 and 25. In closing, we read, so the woman, Manoah's wife, bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahana Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. And so we begin this story of Samson. We'll continue it next time, but we begin the story of Samson starting with the call of God upon his life. Born of a barren woman by divine intervention, consecrated to the Lord, a Nazarite from birth. And we read the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. This is the call. Let me ask you, how has God called you today? If you are seeking God in his call, do you meet the qualifications of the call? Are you the potential that he is looking for? Because the call of God is born in humility. Secondly, if you are looking for confirmation to this call, have you prayed earnestly? Have you sought him? And have you considered what God has already told you? Last, if you're beginning to realize the gravity of this call, I encourage you to taste and see that the Lord is good. He is for you. He is not against you. That our God does wondrous, incomprehensible, and extraordinary things. This is the God we follow. Now, wherever you're at in your walk with God, I pray that our discussion will be fruitful for you and that you might understand a little bit more about God's call in your life.